message today is two testimonies. Two testimonies. Verse 1 said, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. According to 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32, Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. That's a lot of songs for any songwriter. 1,005. And of all his 1,005 songs, this is number one. The best of the best. The Song of Songs. Could say the Song of All Songs. We're familiar with that pattern of line of speaking, that similar statements of comparisons. For instance, of all that's ever been called Lord, Christ is the Lord of Lords. And of all the kings of the earth in all of history, Christ Jesus is the King of Kings above all others. And so it is here with songs. Of all the songs ever written, of all the songs ever sung, including Solomon's 1,005, this song is the Song of Songs. It's number one on the charts forever. Someone might ask, well, what could possibly be the subject of this Song of All Songs? Well, it's a love song. And of course, reading this, it becomes apparent as a he and a she express thoughts and words of love one toward another. It's a love story. Initially and historically between King Solomon and a Shulamite maiden. At the same time, recorded by divine inspiration, part of God's Bible for you and I, it is a projection of a greater love story. That of Christ and His church. So that's the message. Now we might ask, who is this Shulamite, as she is called in chapter 6 and verse 13? Well, what is a Shulamite? Who is she? Well, in translating words, there are some spelling changes that involve inserting letters of our alphabet, especially the letter H in the Old Testament. You remember Abram's name was changed to Abraham, inserting an H and another A. His wife's name, Sarah, was initially Sarai, S-A-R-A-I. And it is changed to Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, changing the I to an H. Again, the inserting of an H. Well, Shulamite, or Shulam with the H, is a form of the older name Salem. Salem, of which Melchizedek was king. Genesis 14:18, Melchizedek, king of Salem. Salem later had a prefix put to it, Jeru. Jerusalem. Or Jerusalem. So a Shulamite is one who dwelt in or around Jerusalem. Solomon, the king, of course, lived and reigned from Jerusalem. And in this couple, we have represented Solomon and the Shulamite. We have represented two opposite poles in the social life of an Israelite. Solomon the king, wealthy, popular. He was at the top of the social ladder, of course. He's the king. But the Shulamite, a poor farm girl, vineyard worker, was at the bottom of the social ladder. And as we would see it, there's not one chance in a million that these two would ever come together in a love relationship. But historians say that sometimes the king, just to get away and have a little privacy, would take off his royal garments and would put on a shepherd's garb and pretend that he was just an ordinary peasant and would go walking out in the fields like he was a nobody, like he was a shepherd. And he saw her. And when he did, it was love at first sight. She won Solomon's heart without even knowing she'd done it. At which point, he purposed to win her heart. And of course, that's the order of Christ and His church. We love Him. Or in this line we're thinking, we are brought to love Him because He first loved us. That's the order. She speaks first. Now, down through this chapter, she first gives her testimony. Two testimonies. Beginning in verse 2 is her testimony of herself. And beginning in verse 8 is Solomon's testimony of her. So, she's the first to speak. In verse 2, let him kiss me. Verse 4, draw me. And then comes the first of these two testimonies we're going to talk about. She says of herself in verse 5, I am black. But in verse 15, he says of her, thou art fair. And so condensing the text to these two little three-word statements here, three-word testimonies. I am black. And then his statement, thou art fair. That's what we want to talk about. Those are the two testimonies. It seems they're talking about two different people. But no, they're both referring to her. Just from different perspectives. And that's the blessed thing about being God's child this morning. About being part of the bride of Christ. Is that what men say about us is one thing. Or even what we'd say about ourselves is one thing. But what Christ our Redeemer says about us is another testimony altogether. So it's two testimonies. She speaks of what she knows herself to be. And in all actuality, she is. He speaks from the perspective, not of what she is in herself, but of what she is to him. She said, I am black. And of course, you know, black symbolizes dark, ugly, and filthy. But he says about her, thou art fair, which symbolizes bright and beautiful and clean. We note here she is so sure of her testimony that she repeats it. First in verse 5, she said, I am black. And then again in verse 6, she said, look not upon me because I am black. Verse 5, I'm as black as the tents of Kedar. Kedar. Kedar was a son of Ishmael. Tent dweller. And of course the tents covered with the black goat's hair. Very unattractive. He said, that's me. very unattractive, black. She said, the sun, verse 6, hath looked upon me. That hot eastern sun had beaten down upon her, working in the vineyard day after day after day. And it had parched her skin. She was not acquainted with Avon or Mary Kay or any of the other skin care professionals. No. And she knew it. She knew it. She said, I've been made the keeper of the vineyard that I'm working in. And I work it day after day after day. But my own vineyard have I not kept. I hadn't had time to try to make myself look good. I've been too busy taking care of this vineyard. I haven't had time to be concerned with my own appearance, washing my face, brushing my hair. I've been so busy in this vineyard. My own vineyard have I not kept. It's as if she's apologizing for her appearance. As if to say, you couldn't possibly want anyone like me. You can do better than this. Have you ever told the Lord that? Lord, you could have done better than this. I certainly have many, many, many times. But you see, what she didn't understand was that his requirement wasn't somebody already beautiful. But somebody he would make beautiful. That's the king's heart. That was his thinking. And the spiritual picture here, of course, is the ugliness and the blackness of our sinful hearts. The defiling and deforming effects of sin in our very nature. And her testimony expresses her consciousness of this, that she is conscious of the native vileness of her own heart, which is made known by the Holy Ghost. And it brings about a grieving, a mourning over sin. When David said in Psalm 38:6, I go mourning all the day long. That word mourning is blackened. I go blackened. All the day long. The more I look, the filthier I am. I am black with sin. That's what she confesses here. I am black. That's her testimony. And this morning we are black. All of us, first of all, with sin inherent. We all have in us, by nature, a spirit of rebellion that would be our own God. That despises the very thought of submitting as an inferior and a failing creature to our righteous and holy Creator. That's in us by nature, this inherent sin. And then we are black, secondly, with sins of omission. Looking back over our lives at all we should have done and have not done. All we should have been and have not been. And then thirdly, we are black with sins of commission. All the things we've done that we should not have done. We are black, fourthly, with sins of complacency, laziness, uncaring, without love for God as we should have, without love for others as we should have, without compassion as we should have. This is the only true testimony for sinners like you and I. I am black. It's to say, along with Isaiah, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's to say, along with Abraham, I am but dust and ashes. It's to say, along with Jacob, I am not worthy of the least of all these thy mercies to me. But no, we got the idea that we're something. And people are even bold enough to say it. Well, you know, I don't hurt people. I'm as good as anybody else. And, you know, I try to, yeah. No, I am black. I am black. It's to say with Job, behold, I am vile. That law we heard about in the lesson this morning. That looking glass. That stethoscope that the Spirit of God has made to shine in our hearts and show us the truth about ourselves. Say with Job, behold, I am vile. I am black. It's to say with David, I was conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. I've been black from before I ever came out of my mother's womb. It's to say with Peter, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You wouldn't want anything to do with me. And then this testimony, I am black, is to say with the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. He didn't say wretched man that I used to be, but as a child of God, as the great apostle, preaching the gospel, mightily used of the Lord, he says, I still am in this flesh. Oh, wretched man that I still am. So this testimony, I am black. It is the renouncing of any hope of acceptance with God in my own merit. I really hope this testimony is yours this morning. From your heart, I am black. There is no hope of acceptance with God for me in my own merit. I myself, as Paul said in Ephesians, am without hope and without God in myself. But thank God in this text, in this chapter, there's another testimony to be heard. Solomon, in his love for this girl, didn't look at her in her blackness, her parched skin, her dirty face, her tangled hair, her work clothes there in the vineyard. But he said these three words, thou art fair. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, now you and I couldn't do that. You and I couldn't do that. You'd better be glad I'm not God. And I'm certainly glad you're not God. Because what you see in me and what I see in you would damn us all. It's all blackness. But our Lord, in love, was looking beyond. He does not look at us in what we are by nature. God looks at us in His Son. In Christ. And what He has decreed us to be. And in His mind and purpose, we already are. What is that? To be conformed to the image of His Son. King Solomon, in his imagination and foresight and foreordination, and predestination. As the king, he can do what he will with anybody in the country. He can exalt him or kill him. He's the king. So in all this, his imagination, foresight, foreordination, predestination, and most of all in his love for this girl, he looked past all the ugliness and all the blackness, And he saw her cleaned up in a white bridal dress. Her face shining, clean, skin smooth and soft. A bridal wreath of flowers upon her head. Her hair clean and beautiful, flowing down her shoulders and back. With a sweet smelling perfume that only royalty can afford. He sees what she didn't see in herself. And I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this morning, if you can believe this morning, he sees what you don't see in yourself. Thank God he's got something better for you than yourself. There's a royal wedding. And all this that he sees is not something that he wishes could happen. Oh no. It's all in his ability and his purpose and his determination and his love to make it so. And he does. While she sees herself black, walking between two rows in the old dirty vineyard, that's not what he sees. He sees her beautiful, walking down the staircase of the palace, adorned as a bride for her husband. She's coming, and her first words are going to be, "I do." She's coming to say, "I do." She'll throw away the bouquet and embrace him, the Rose of Sharon. She'll toss aside the bouquet and embrace him, the Lily of the Valley. He is more to her than all the flowers of all the fields and all the valleys. And so is Christ to his people this morning. He's her beloved. He's her beloved. Oh, if you could just believe this. The Lord don't think of you as you think of you. You can see no beauty for the blackness. He can see no blackness for the beauty. Let me show you whose testimony is the most emphatic. She said, "I am black," twice. Two times, verse 5 and verse 6. "He said, 'Thou art fair,' more times than that. Verse 8, "O thou fairest among women." That's once. Verse 15, "Behold, thou art fair, my love." That's twice. Same verse, he repeats it. "Behold, thou art fair." That's three times. Verse 16, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved." That's four times. Chapter 2, verse 10. "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." That's five times. Chapter 2, verse 13, the end of the verse. "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." That's six times. Chapter 4 and verse 1. "Behold, thou art fair, my love." That's seven times. Still in chapter 4, verse 1, he repeats it. "Behold, thou art fair." That's eight. Chapter 4, verse 7. "Thou art all fair, my love." there is no spot in thee. That's nine times. Chapter 4, verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. That's 10 times. Chapter 6, verse 11. Excuse me, verse 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon? She's the fair one. That's 11 times. Chapter 7. And verse 6. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. That's 12 times. Twice she said, I am black. And it was true. 12 times he said, thou art fair. I am black with sin. I'm willing to say it a second time. But he said, thou art fair. There is no spot in thee. And he said, I'll say it 12 times. That's the emphasis. It's all in whose eyes you're looking through. It's so hard to believe that Christ thinks any more of you than the blackness you see. Oh, but he does. He does. When this girl leaves the peasant life and enters the palace life, do you find it hard to believe that there's just one thing in her heart? I'm going to do whatever it takes with all that's in me to please Him. I don't find that hard to believe. Well, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? Our minds are so warped with this popular religion. If I thought more of God, He'd think more of me. If I did more for God, He'd do more for me. Well, that may build kingdoms, and it may build fat bank accounts, and it does, all around our country, at the expense of ignorant religious people. But I promise you, what God thinks of you is not determined by what you think of Him. What you think of Him is determined by what He thinks of you. And what He does for you is not determined by what you do for Him. But what you do for Him is determined by what He does for you. That's the order. That's the order. Two distinct testimonies about the same person. It's all a matter of whose eyes you're looking through. Yours or His. The world looks at you, and you may look at you and say, what a loser. Oh, but if you could see through the eyes of God, looking at His Son, the statement would be, what a lover. What a lover. Oh, what He's done for such a wretch as you and I. What a Redeemer. What I couldn't, wouldn't, and didn't do, which is to love Him, He loved me. He loved me. Nothing I've ever done or hadn't done has changed His love for me. If God's love is conditional, you and I will never be able to earn 1 ounce of it. But if it's unconditional, and He is pleased to make Himself known, to make His love known, if His love is shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Ghost, then we'll never be able to do anything but love Him back. And that's how it is. Yes, I am black. I see that. I despise that. But He said, "Behold, thou art fair." And He says it 12 times. You say, "I don't see it, neither do I, but I love it. I love it." 2 testimonies. Christ thinks more of you than you think He does. Bless His holy name. Let's stand together.